Hello and welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page Podcast. Today is the 5th of November, 2009. Our feature is an interview G.L. recently recorded with a fellow officer of the International Center for Women Playwrights. I'll get back to that in a moment. My monologue for this show is about the economy, a dire story, but one any of you, young or old, can shape to fit your needs. The text can be found among the mouth-offs on www.stagepage.info and can be freely used by auditioning actors and students. We do request that you email GL at our website, glhorton@stagepage.info, to request permission. That's it, an email. Describe the mouth-off or monologue you want to use and how you want to use it. Feel it's worth more? Email her. Let her know how you did. On a sunny Sunday in October, the International Center for Women Playwrights board secretary, Jan Watts of Birmingham, England, was in Boston visiting family. She had a few hours free to meet with Geraldine and, after a walking tour of Boston's Emerald Necklace, Back Bay, and the Common, to record an interview about her theatrical adventures and her plans for a cooperative project between ICWP and the New Plays program of the Birmingham Rep. Here's Geraldine and Jan.
This is Geraldine, and I'm here with Jan Watts, who is here in Boston with me from Birmingham, England. And she is telling me about an interesting new scheme that she is setting up for ICWP to work together with one of the more prestigious regional theaters in England. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jan?
Yes, well, it's a pilot scheme, and at the moment we're still not quite sure what we're going to call it, but it may be something like ICWP Discovery Scheme or something like that. It's still in the laps of the gods, that is. But anyway, we have the agreement of Birmingham Rep, which, as you say, is a well-known, subsidised, I'm afraid, theatre in England. And we have their agreement from the artistic director and from the literary manager to start a scheme where we ask you, the playwrights, to submit to us, first of all, a synopsis and the first 10 pages of a play. And we will give you the criteria that the theatre are now looking for plays, actively looking for plays. We will get some input from you, and then we will pick five plays that we think will fit the remit that we get from Birmingham Rep Theatre.
And presumably would be a diverse cross-section of the of the people who belong to ICWP.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's actually very important, particularly from Birmingham Rep's point of view, because actually they are always looking at new writing, but it's always usually within a fairly limited pool, and they're particularly interested, one, in getting more women's plays put on, which of course we all know is an issue at the moment. Well, not at the moment, it has been obviously for a long time, but also actually they are looking for very diverse work from a diverse pool of playwrights, which of course ICWP is. Anyway, and the idea is that they have agreed to read some plays, and we would act in a way as a literary agency going to them. They are not guaranteeing that they would actually put any of the plays on, but they are looking to fill their programme with plays, and that the plays that we submit will go into that pool. And as I say, hopefully, there may be a very positive outcome. It is a producing theatre, though at the moment, again, they are going to be dark for a period of time because the new Birmingham Library is going to be built in the car park next to them. But they are not going to stop producing. They are going to be carrying on producing plays over the next 18 months in other venues. So though, the main stage is going to be closed, actually their productions will carry on during that time.
Well, this stirs my imagination because although I haven't been to the Birmingham Rep, I've certainly seen it referenced in critical material and in on people's bios when I see something in the theater in London. That's an important credit that people use. Yeah. And the other thing that is Michael Blakemore's novel is supposedly based on his experience at the Birmingham Rep. And it's a great, great backstage novel, which I've read, I think, three times over the over the 30 years since it was first published. And I can sort of imagine from his descriptions what it must look like or feel like. And it would be great to go there using the excuse that one of the ICW plays
plays be wonderful?
And I, you know, as an officer of the organization, it's somehow my duty to go fly to England and see it.
Yes. Well, anyway, that's maybe a possibility. So start saving, Geraldine.
All right.
Start saving. So anyway, that's the scheme. When I get back to England now, I'm going to be sitting down with the calendar and working out a plan, and also going back to talk to Birmingham Rep for their criteria as well. And I'm hoping that I can give you some more news, you know, fairly soon. The idea is to try this out with Birmingham Rep, but then maybe open this up to other theatres and, you know, throughout the world. So there can be, in a way, an attempt to exchange work from, you know, one place to another.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know whether this would actually happen, but it would certainly be a capital G, capital T good thing if it did. One way in which we are not diverse, but our leading edge, is the fact that we are a cyber organization. And we work, we have our board meetings online, we exchange scripts to read with each other or become familiar with each other's work, either by reading it on our own websites or by sending electronic copies. And if theaters would open themselves up to being to electronic submissions, that would it's unfair in the sense that it means the people who have access to broadband have a bit of an advantage, although you can use broadband in the public library in many many countries, including this one. And I know a quite successful playwright who doesn't even own a computer, uses the library computers and carries her work back and forth on you know, thumb drives. But, you know, I have thought about mailing things off to England, and the postal costs of mailing a script to England are really daunting to someone.
Well, it really does make you think twice, doesn't it? And when you have your baby, you know, your play, and you want to actually send it out to as many people as possible, to be able to do that by post is actually, you know, impossible, isn't it? By email, it makes it a really so much easier.
Well, and you sort of don't feel bad about, you know, that you don't read all your email.
No.
And if somebody doesn't read your script that you send them, it's not a big deal. You didn't didn't send it with your life blood that you spend hours slaving over your day job to accumulate. It's just something, you know, either the title or the cast list or where it came from or the one line synopsis, they knew immediately that it wasn't for them. But that's okay. They can delete it without feeling like they're letting the playwright down because they didn't actually read it. It's all right.
And I think more and more organizations are actually open to that. But yes, it's certainly something that we should be supporting because we are a cyber organization, as you say.
I hear that many people say, well, our readers won't read online. But I certainly read online all the time, and I would, you know, when I'm reading my friend's script, I say, "Don't give me the, don't give me a printout copy because I'll lose a page. Just send it to me by email."
No. I also think actually that it's actually one, getting more practiced at reading a screen, and two, screens are actually getting much clearer, and we're able to control the size of the print that to suit us and much, you know, much more easily, aren't we? You know, I think those sort of excuses that, you know, we have to have a hard copy, you know, to be able to read it, you know,
is, or be able to pass it around. If you have a cyber copy, then you don't, it isn't even difficult to pass it around. You just email one off to everyone
much
on the
easier.
Reading committee.
Absolutely.
And if they lose it, you mail it again.
That's right. That's right. Much easier.
Much easier. You don't have to worry about leaving it on the trolley.
Nope. Nope. because it's there in your little plastic box.
And we do mean little. It could be on your little teeny weeny thumb drive.
Absolutely.
So do you have some kind of a relationship with the Birmingham Rep? Have they showed an interest in your work?
Yes and no, I would say. I was on the board of Birmingham Rep for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this may seem as though I have a way in there with my own writing, and I'm afraid it doesn't mean that from my personal point of view. Well, I wouldn't. If I am on the board of directors at Birmingham Rep, I'm not there to push my own work.
No.
So,
but anyway, they wouldn't hold it against you, especially if you have rotated off and your service is complete.
Yes. Yes. So now I feel that I could, you know, I can submit work to them. I feel much freer to do that. But I've been on the board up to last October. For 6 years, you have 3 years, and then they can ask you again for another 3 years, and they asked me again for another 3 years, so I've done my 6 years. While I was there, I was very supportive of their youth theatre, Young Rep, which does some very exciting work with a young director called Tim Ford, and that's been my main sort of delight, I suppose, at Birmingham Rep.
Well, you have taught theatre on various levels, right? Young people and to...
I've taught for years. I taught drama for years in schools. I've taught creative writing and been a writer in residence in a prison, well, in three prisons, in fact. So, you know, that's been my background, really. And I have a particular interest in youth theatre. And I like to write for young people too. I've had one of my plays produced by two youth theatre groups this year, which has been really exciting, and I've really enjoyed.
And it's a public service to the art, because I don't know whether drama has taken as big a hit in England as it has here, but the funds. Some of my favorite theaters have been very active in producing theater for young people, and also interesting young people in the process of their main stage season, and bringing them in and showing them rehearsals and having them shadow their companies. And all this is the thing that makes people fall in love with the theater.
Absolutely.
And fall in love with written language and with the sound of literate spoken language. And to see many of these programs are being shut down, which threatens the life of the theaters that have run them, but also they are shut down not for the reason that the entire program is not affordable, because many of them are actually funded through other programs, through charities who are supporting that program, but they can't even afford the school bus to take the kids to the theater to experience these rehearsals and these free performances that have been that would be provided for them.
Yeah.
And that's just heartbreaking to see all the work and effort and goodwill and inspiration that has been being passed to these children just suddenly dry up because some idiots decided to invest in crazy casino stock market.
Yeah, I think there's some people seem to think that you offer theatre experiences because you want actually people to become actors, and that or take a career choice and going into the theatre. And it's such a narrow view.
It's not a sensible career. I mean, even of the famous actors who win lots of prizes, many of them go on to something else because it just is not. It's a handicraft industry in a world of professionalism. But theater so enriches your life.
Absolutely.
It helps you to understand other people, to analyze motivation, including your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And builds empathy and cross-community appreciation for differing points of view and differing life stories.
Yeah. And for young people to actually gain confidence through both watching and participating, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Anyway, I have a real affection for Birmingham Rep, and one of the very nice things about being on the board is that you get complimentary tickets, and one of the nice things about not being on the board anymore is you still get complimentary tickets. But I'm this plan is at its infancy now, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping that with a little bit of planning now, we can get this up and running. And also, as I say, expanding the whole thing to other theatres across, well, let's say across the world, actually.
Well, I hope when you do have an outline for the project, that we are able to get enough volunteer help from both our present board and our membership so that we can actually our part to make this happen and happen well enough that we have the experience with it to expand it to other things.
Sure.
Because good ideas are a dime a dozen, but actually testing them out and making them work and then finding people to run them, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we will hope that people who hear about this or read about this will share our excitement in it and make it happen.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to my schmooze in New York on Wednesday with Robin and Jenny and maybe others, I don't know. And I've really, really enjoying my trip to the States, but sadly it's very short. But I'm really enjoying it, and it's been a delight meeting you, Geraldine.
Oh, well, thank you. It's certainly been a pleasure for me. And I love sharing this beautiful city of Boston.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy when ICWPers come by and have the time to meet and share.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was GL talking with the International Center for Women Playwrights Board Secretary, Jan Watts. It's nice to make face-to-face contact with someone you've only ever spoken to long distance. Maybe we'll stop off in Birmingham next time we're in England. Now for my monologue, which I've titled Economics. You can find it among the mouth-offs on www.stagepage.info. Want to talk about economics? Here's mine. My mother worked full-time before I was born, and after. She supposedly retired, but she still works because her Social Security isn't enough to live on. My father, her ex, after he left, Mom had full custody and the use of the family house, but he was always a deadbeat on child support. What was she going to do? Put him in jail? As soon as my sister and I were grown, he got a smart lawyer, took the house away from her. Mom was left with her two sick parents, herself, and a grandchild to support. Me? I'm in my 30s and I can pay for rent and food, but I know I'll never be able to afford a house, and I certainly can't afford children. Friends of mine who foolishly thought they could afford them are foreclosed and bankrupt and homeless now. I recently ran the numbers. If I work every day for the next 35 years, I still won't be able to save enough to support myself for more than 3 years after I start collecting what's left of post-boomer Social Security. I need to die by 73 or be broken homeless. And that's optimistic. That's if I'm never fired and my bank doesn't fail. Do the math and count yourself lucky if your budgeting is more positive. I know so many people my age with abilities, skills, and advanced education being forced to realize that the American dream is just that, a dream, a fantasy, like hitting the lottery. Well, that's it for this show. Hope you found it interesting or entertaining or both. And I hope you'll feel inclined and welcomed to visit www.stagepage.info sometime soon to see if one of the hundreds of monologues, mouth-offs, short plays, or full-length plays there suit your needs. Until next time. This production is the creation and property of David Meyer in association with G.L. Horton and the www.stagepage.info website. It may be redistributed, in whole or in part, only with credit given and notice sent to davidmeyer@me.com. Our music is from the Free Play Music Library, license granted through Apple's .Mac program.